It's hard to believe that a year went by already. Baruch Hashem, of the past few years, we've been learning Kuntreisim from a very special tzaddik and a good friend of mine, Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg from Yerushalayim. We learned a Kuntreis on parenting a few years ago, then we learned on Simcha. And last year we were talking about working on the Inyan of Kina, of jealousy. Well, many people have asked me, so what exactly is the specific topic for the Kuntreis? What are we going to be doing now? It's hard to put into words. I gave some goofy title for it, I think, under pressure. But really, I think if I just speak for 5-10 minutes before, a little bit about what we're going to be working on, so I'm hoping that we'll understand what the Inyan is about. And then Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning, as we have over the past few years, the Kuntres inside. A few years ago, I spoke about the Inyan of Tammuz and Av, this time of the year, being the time of Tikkun HaEinayim, working on one's vision, on one's eyesight. The Inyan of Shabbos Chazon in particular. Tammuz and Av are known in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Trei Ein and the two eyes. Tammuz is one eye, and Av is another eye, and that's the Inyan of Eini, Eini Yerdamayim. When the Nabi was crying about the Churban, he said, my eye is flowing with tears, with water. That means that more than any other time of the year, there's Nachrayas at this time of the year, to try to correct our way of looking at things, to try to work on our eyesight, to be able to see the Metzius, the way the Metzius really is, to be able to see things in a true way, in a real way. I mentioned in Shul a few weeks ago, all of you are familiar with Rashi's teaching when it says, Vayas Kein Aaron, that Aaron did as he was told. So Rashi says, this is praising the fact that Aaron didn't change from what he was told to do. He did exactly as he was told. So all this from asking, that's such a madreg of Aaron HaKohen, if Hashem would tell your eyes something directly in such a way, certainly we would do what we were told. The only reason we sometimes have some problems is because we didn't hear it directly. But Aaron HaKohen, Vayas Kein Aaron, Lahagid Shvach Shel Aaron. Aaron's greatness was Shelo Yishina, that he didn't change anything from what Hashem's Baruch told him. So I mentioned in Shul there's a teaching that Tzaddikim that Shelo Yishina means something much deeper than that. You know that Aaron loved in the deepest way, he loved every Jew. And you know that he spent his entire life making Sholem between Jews. Even though he had to say things that weren't entirely true. But anything to make Sholem between husbands and wives, friends, parents and children. So how did he do that? So the tzaddik explains when Rashi says, Lahagit shvok shalom lashina, shalashina means this. Usually, when we see something that's wrong with someone that we love, with a person, we try to change that person. Very often, a marriage takes place, and I'm hearing this more and more lately, that when a young couple gets married, they go into the marriage with all types of like projects of how I'm going to change this person. How I'm going to be able, I was told, my teacher told me, my friend told me, she was using my friend. The friend who was herself having a problem tells the other friend, oh well, you know, they're very adjustable. And it's become more disposable than adjustable. And the expectation of changing somebody to adapt to who you are and what you want is an extremely dangerous project. Aaron loved Jews so much as Lahagit Shvach Shel Aaron Shel Yishina. Listen what this means. The Shevach of Aaron HaKohen, the greatness of Aaron was that he never tried to change anybody. Lahagit Shvach Shel Aaron Shel Yishina. He never tried to change anybody. What Aaron did his entire life was try to reveal the inner core, the inner light of each person to himself, to herself. How good you really are. Not that you have to change. Not that you have to become something that you're not. Not that you have to be a different boy, a different girl, a different husband, a different wife. You have to be who you could really be. The greatness of Aaron was that Aaron taught us how to look at the Metzius in a deeper way. So often, we look at Metzius in a shallow way, in a superficial way, and because of that, it's not the way that we want. We don't see things as they really are. How many times parents are guilty of this? How many times teachers are guilty of this? I spoke about it a little bit last Shabbos. All of the time. So we therefore feel that we have to mold the child. It's a very common term in chinuch. Molding. And we're going to mold the child and bend the child and shape the child, usually to fit in exactly to what that particular teacher or the particular hashkafa or whatever it might be of that institution, whatever that might be. The shevach of Aaron HaKohen, you know how come Aaron HaKohen was able to change so many Jews? Because he never tried to change them. He saw the good, he saw the potential, he saw the true metzias. He looked at every Jew with the eyes of Lehi Main, of David HaMelech, who was Yefeinai. And that be'emes is the inyan that we're going to talk about. Looking at things in a different way. Trying to understand what our priorities should be. What's important. What's more important, what's less important. There's a maisa, and then we'll start the kuntres. There's a maisa that was told by the Baba Rebbe Schusi Agen Aleinu. I saw it in a sefer, slight variations, but this wasn't a long time ago. The Rebbe, we were zeichet to see the Rebbe with our own eyes. We were zeichet to have him in this world. So the Baba Rebbe told the maisa about his grandmother. Everybody knows that the Babavar was a direct descendant of the Divrei Chaim, of the Sanzerov. And the Sanzerov had 11 children. The youngest child was Fegula. The Babavar was a descendant of this Sadekis Fegula. It was said about her that she was exceedingly beautiful. All of the children of the Sanzerov and Rebbetzin were beautiful. Even though he himself was not physically. It came time for her chasana. She was 14 years old. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to like this story. You already don't like it. You're not going to like it, and I'm going to try to make it clear over the next couple of weeks why it's important to hear it. Now, the Divrei Chaim was known as a gibor, mamash gibor, even though he could barely walk. He was known as a gibor, as a powerful person. His learning, his davening. He was able to be soivel a tremendous amount of pain. But it was known that there was one thing that the Divrei Chaim couldn't be soivel at all, and that was a Jew crying. And people knew this. And certainly, Jews know how to also take advantage. And day and night, there were people coming with all kinds of tzaros to him. He couldn't hear a Jew crying. So the maaser was that it was Fegula's chasna, and she was being taken to the chuppah. And even though nobody heard any crying, the sons of Rav stopped the procession, and he said that there's somebody crying. There's somebody here that's crying. And he didn't mean from joy. Certainly there were people crying from joy. It's a chasana. He heard a different kind of crying. Some of you might know the story. So he said to the shamans, "We're not going under the chuppah. There's somebody here that's upset." So the shamans went looking, and he found someplace all the way, you know, there were many, many people. Thousands of people. There was somebody, a girl, all the way herself crying in the corner. She was obviously from the poorest girls in Sanz. And she was dressed in shmatas. And the shamas said that the Rebbe wants to see you. And she was terrified, and the shamas brought her to the Rebbe, and everybody's waiting for the chasna. And Fegel was sitting there, the mamash going to the chuppah. So the Rebbe said, asked, what's your name? And how old is she? She was also 14. And why are you crying? So she says, Rebbe, I'm not chas v'sholem jealous, but today is the day of my chasana. Tonight, later on, is my chasana. And I come from a very poor family, I don't have anything. And I see your fegel, I see the gown that she has. And what you see on me now, Rebbe, is what I'm wearing to the, what I'm going to be wearing by my chasana. And it makes me sad. See, here's the part you're going to be upset about. So the Sanz Rav called over his daughter Fegel and said, it says in the Navi, Yeshayah, Vayilbash Tzedakah, it says that Hashem is enclosed in righteousness, in tzedakah, in charity. Like we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, Levush Ay Tzedakah. The garment of Hashem is tzedakah. So the Rebbe said to his daughter Fegula, I want to tell you something. You have a very, very unusual opportunity. You could either wear a wedding gown that's made of fabric, of material, of human beings, or if you want, you could wear the levush of Hashem Esbruch, you could wear Hashem Esbruch's garment. And Fegula understood, and she went into a room and she exchanged outfits with a kala, with a kala from the night, with a poor girl. She gave the kala her wedding gown. So chasna, I don't know why it couldn't be worn for both, why couldn't they work it out? With the time, I don't know what happened. But the Rebbe saw that she needed that and to feel that it was hers, I suppose. And Fegele walked under the chuppah in the Shmatis, and the Baba Rebbe said that the Chassidim used to say that they never ever saw as stunning, as beautiful a kala as Fegula when she was under the chuppah in the Shmatis. So I thought about this ma'aser, and it's a painful ma'aser, because you know you feel bad for Fegula. And what's Fegula supposed to say when you have a father like the Sanz Rav? And when the Sanz Rav says, what do you think, which gown would you rather wear? What would our daughters say? What would we say? I'd rather wear my wedding gown, and maybe it can work something out with the girl, like we were all thinking. Obviously, that's not the Sanz Rav's cheshbon. The Sanz Rav's cheshbon is that the poor girl should have that. And that Fegula should wear the shmatas. What would we say about such a chasana? What would we say about such a levush? So our whole lives, we're trying to buy for ourselves nice things. And there's nothing wrong. The rational ones used to be happy, to look good. And we're trying to enclose ourselves and certainly our children. And that the children should have what they need, and they should wear the best malbush, so they should be beautiful children. And we want to be ourselves attractive and appealing. What the shiur is going to be about is how much are we doing to wear the levushim of Hashem Yisbarach in this world. Are we preparing ourselves and our children with the garments of levush ay tzedakah? With that beautiful, beautiful wedding gown of smelly and torn clothing that Fegula wore and that from that chasna, that tzaddikim that came from that chasna. And are we preparing the malbushim for ourselves and our children and the way that we're raising them and the way that we ourselves are thinking? Have we forgotten the malbushim of Rebbetzin Fegula? And that's really what it's all going to be about. How to try to readjust our way of thinking. And I can tell you that the author of this kuntras, and as I mentioned to you, I tell you every year when we start, it's not a sefer that was written to be read. These were shluzim that have been transcribed, that he gives in the dark, Shalashu this time, in front of hundreds of Jews. and it's something that is hard to describe because I've been at them, how he jumps up, he starts dancing around and screaming and crying what goes on. So the Dvarim HaYetzim and Alev, these are words that have come from the overflowing heart of a very special Jew. And because of that, there's a lot of Yiddish, but fortunately it was translated on the bottom, and we've seen that in the previous years. My Yiddish is not particularly good, which has been the cause of much shame and embarrassment for a fellow who looks like me. And, I mean, I understand it, but they can tell right away I'm not the real thing. And also, when we do it, there's going to be a lot more Yiddish than usual, so we're going to always go straight for the footnote when it comes to Yiddish, unless it's just a word or two. But there are longer notes that the Yiddish is translated into Lashon HaKodesh, so we're going to go straight into Lashon HaKodesh because there's no reason in translating it twice. So let's begin with Siyata Dishmaya. We could begin with Eis Beis on page Kuf Tes because the Tzaddik always begins by saying how he's totally unworthy and he doesn't know anything and he's probably misquoting things, and you should assume that any mistakes are his own, not from the Tzaddikim. And this Torah, as you could see, was said Lech Lecha and Vayera, which was over two Shabbases in Tavshin Nun Ches. We're probably not going to have time to do the entire thing, so we're going to be skipping some paragraphs, but we'll try, as an appearance, to finish almost all of it. Okay, so let's begin. Hadiburim HaRishonim, under the heading. Hadiburim HaRishonim. Shavinu Shabashamayim Dibel Avram Avinu Olav Shalom. The first words that our Father in Heaven spoke to our Father on Earth, to Avram Avinu, the first words, Hayalech Lecha Mi'artzecha. That Hashem has brought told Avram Avinu to leave his land, to leave home. V'yadua b'chazal ha'kadoshim tzadikim s'chus yagen aleinu. Is the Heilige Vert, these holy words, if these were the first words that Hashem Yisbarach spoke to a Jew, if we could understand that Avraham Avinu was being that, which in Halach is a major discussion, but the first words that were spoken to our Zaydi, to Avraham Avinu, were Lech Lecha. Hashem Yisbarach didn't say anything before that. As you know, that Avraham Avinu discovered Hashem on his own and was working and thinking and thinking, but the first thing that Hashem Yisbarach said to Avraham Avinu wasn't, "Hi, Yeshakayach, Chazak v'amatz, I appreciate all your efforts." The first thing, you know, you're going to be honored at my first dinner. The first thing that Rabbi Shalom said to a Yid was, Lech Lecha. Go. Leave. Leave your home. And the Tzaddikim say that the first of anything that's found means it's the root and source of that. So that means that there's something that Hashem Yisbarach is telling us each and every day of our lives, every minute, which is Lech Lecha. And the Sfarim say that the Yisoid, the foundation of our service of God, every moment of our lives, is Lech Lecha. And it says in the Zohar Kaddish that before every Yiddish neshama, that before every Jew's soul descends into this world, Avinu Shebeshamayim Omer Lanu, that the Baruch Shalom says these words, Umeir Lanu, and illuminates the soul with the Heilige Verte, with these holy words, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, go out of your land. The Kevin Shezeh HaYisayid HaRishon Ba'avadas Hashem Yisbarach, since this is the beginning, the first words that Hashem Yisbarach says to every one of us, Lekach b'kol shana b'tchilas hashana. That's why every year when it comes after the Yom Tov, when it comes after Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, Kerma Parsha Hazeh, after Bereishis, after the story of creation with Bereishis and Noach, when we come to the first year, when we come to Avraham Avinu, the Baruch Shalom says Lech Lecha. That's where we begin the year. B'kol shana Avinu Shubeshamayim Meir L'kol Echad Or Chodesh. No matter what happened this past year, when it comes to the new year, the Baruch Shalom infuses us once again with that light of Lech Lecha. the koyach chodesh and new koyches. Mekayim leich lecham yartzecha. To be mekayim, to be able to observe what this commandment means, which we're going to talk about. Va'koyach hazer me'ilon l'kol hashana. And this koyach from Parshas Lech Lecha stays with us throughout the entire year. It needs to be recharged and reinvigorated. The Yadum Tzadikim, the Kamei Shezeh Hoya Hatsiva Arishon Avraham Avinu Olam Hashalom Kamei Chayin Klai Yisrael B'tchilosim Kimu Zeheinyin. And therefore we know that not only Avraham Avinu was an individual person, not only were these the first words that he was told Lech Lecha, but even the Jewish people as a people, when we became a nation and we left Mitzrayim. So the Baruch Shalom describes that time as a time of what? Leich Teich Acharai B'Midbar. You followed me, you left the place that you were comfortable in. You left your homes. You left that familiar world that you were born into and that you were raised in. And you know that even if a person was born and raised in a difficult environment, there is something to be said about being home. And therefore, much has been written to explain why is it that home remains a point of reference even for people who come from dysfunctional homes. Hashem Yirachem. At least you know what your schar is. You know what to expect. You know what happens in the home. So the Rebbein Shalom, not only did he tell Avraham Avinu Lech Lecha, but when the Rebbein Shalom speaks about us as a people and becoming a people, the Rebbein Shalom reminisces through the words of the Navi Yirmiyah. And the Rebbein Shalom says, it says, Zachati lach chesed nurayich. And we hear Avraham Avinu in every word. Chesed nurayich is chesed is the inin of Avraham. Avraham Avinu is chesed la Avraham. Zachati lach chesed nurayich. The love and the kindness of your youth. And what was the kindness? And what remains the greatest indication of a Jew's love for Hashem is Baruch? Lech tech acharai b'midbar. Lech lecha. Following Hashem is Baruch, going away from home. And every year when the year starts again, we feel that as we prepare to enter into the world of Avraham Avinu, the final Yontiv Sukkot Shmini Atzeres, the meaning of Sukkot is what? Shemei Elonu Ha'or, where we see this light of Tzei Midiras Kva, V'Shev B'Diras Aroi. Every Sukkot, a little bit, like Avraham Avinu. Every Sukkot, a little bit, like the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim because we leave our homes. Right now the Sukkot are made to resemble as much as possible the home. But a person still is less comfortable being in a Sukkot than he is in his house. So every year when it comes Sukkot, and that's why in the Tefillah, we see that the Tefillah by the Sukkot is that it should be counted as if we went into Golus. Even though it might be a tiny little step, from the kitchen, if you're lucky and you have a little porch, to go right into a sukkah, we ask the Rebbein Shalom, count this Rebbein Shalom, that it should be like going into Golus. That it should be a little bit of a Lech Lecha. It should be the beginning of my commitment, my recommitment to the mitzvah of Lech Lecha. That's what we say in the davening, in the tefillah by the sukkah. In the schus of my leaving my house, in the schus of leaving my house, and the first of the Yushpizen on Sukkot is Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu comes into the Sukkot as the first guest. Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael, the Yushpizen, the guest, the Ezrach B'Yisrael, the Inyan of Sukkot. Ramez Alakarch Shel Avraham Avinu was also called an Ezrach, a citizen. The one who dwelled and who left his dwelling place. To become what? A permanent resident in Hashem Yisbarach's world. And the tzaddikim have revealed to us a great deal about the meaning of this, or this light of Lech Lecha. And we're going to concentrate in these 30 or 40 pages on one particular inyan of Lech Lecha. The inyan hazehu echad mehikar mamish, and this inyan we're going to learn now is one of the most basic Yisoidus of Yiddishkeit. Ba'avodas Hashemes Baruch and serving Hashemes Baruch. Kol echad lefi gilui, each person according to his age. Lefi matzavai, and each person according to his circumstances. B'kol shana b'tchilas hashana, and every year at the beginning of the year, yesh lanu koyach v'or miyuchlas chazuk gezer. We have a new special koyach to be meschazik in the singing of Lech Lecha, with the parshiyos of Avraham Avinu, and after being in the sukkah. U'befrat b'ashavuos b'yipashas Lech Lecha v'yichi, those parshiyos of the Avos. Shows me'elon b'yoysa kershal Avos HaKadoshim during the time that the light of the Avos is shining strongly. Chazal HaKadoshim Sadiqim, so we need to understand what is this singing of Lech Lecha. So the Chazal and the Tzaddikim of Sayyim, Chavis Lavabas, Arachim HaKadosh, Bermayim Chaim, says Hashem told us, Chassam Sofer, Rebbe Nachman Breslov, Arishnas, Anzerov, Sfasamis, Void Harbe. Gilu Lon, they reveal to us, She'echod Mikari Koiches Upitu Yehayetz, that one of the strongest Koiches, one of the most seductive methods of the Yetzirah, the frat bedor she'ikvus of the Mashiach, and particularly in the generation before Mashiach comes that we're in right now, the last generation, who she'mishtadl b'kol kaychaisar, that the Yetzer or the other side, the Sitrach, is making every possible effort, la'shkiach miyehudi ma'tachliseinu b'zeh ha'ol, to cause a Yid to forget what is our tachlis, what's my tachlis in the world. In other words, what the tzaddikim said is that the Yetzer Hara will let you put on tallis and tefillin. The Yetzer Hara will let you keep Shabbos. The Yetzer Hara will even let you go to Tehillim rallies. The Yetzer Hara will let you dress sneezing. The Yetzer Hara will let you say all the right Jewish words and to have all the right appearances. The Iker Koyach of the Yetzer Hara, the tzaddikim say before Mashiach comes, is to cause a person to forget what his tachlis is in the world. What the tachlis is in the world. And I've mentioned to you here earlier, in previous years, had the Baditshva, I remember 2 years ago, had the Baditshva told all the Jews in Baditshva they had to come to shul Tuesday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And everybody in Baditshva was terrified because it wasn't usually a good thing. They were worried that some trouble was coming. And everybody came to shul. Thousands of people were standing outside, crying and shaking and afraid. And the Baditshva came with a talus over his face. And he walked onto the bima, and he took the talus off his head, and he screamed out, Yidden Jews, don't forget that the Baruch Shalom exists. And he left. Now these were all Orthodox Jews. These were all Shomer Shabbos, Kiddush-going Jews. These were all L'chaim-making Jews. Very religious. They did everything they were supposed to. And the B'ditchva said, felt the tachlis. Of the tachlis that there's a Rabbanim Shalom. And what does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? Tachlis is missing. It's a tachlis. Rabbi Shvil Ma Bonu Laka. And the Yetzer Hara will let you wear two pairs of tefillin. And the Yetzer Hara will let you. And the Yetzer Hara will let you go to 100 shiurim to be the most educated Jew on your block. But the ikar is to forget bishvil ma bonu lekan. Why did I come to the world? Uma ha'ikar shalom. And what's my priority in this world? Uma ha'tofa. What's more important? What's less important? The Tomid Mishtadl Lubabel, my Iker Matofel. You hear that was a chasna by Fegeler, by the Sanzerov's daughter? That the Sanzerov could say to Akala that nowadays he would be thrown out of the community for being a cruel father. And certainly Fegeler would have been immediately put at risk for being told by a father to give up a wedding gown for some shmatas. The Rebbe's daughter. But the Rebbe knew who his daughter was. And he said, Levushai Tzedakah. And he said to his daughter, to Fegel, listen, there are Levushim and Levushim. The wedding gown is taka beautiful. And you're a beautiful kala. But don't forget, Bishvil Ma Bonu Lekan. Why did we come to the world? Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to marry this young man who you're going to marry? If you think about it, My wife and I were talking about this before, and I'm sure everybody in the room who has dealt in the Indian of Shaduchim has similar or even more horrible stories than we have about the kind of questions that are asked, the kind of standards that people think are somehow going to be accurate in assessing the viability of a young lady. Usually it's with a girl, which is itself a problem because the girls are generally so far superior to the boys. But the way of measuring whether this girl is worthy of marrying my little tzaddik, and the kind of questions that are asked, and the meisim that we have, that Baruch Hashem mostly has been wonderful for us. That's because my nephew made my meir shidduch. But the kind of questions that we were asked. And recently, this past year, we were just talking about that this past year, there was somebody who said that, there was somebody through the Shadchan said that, well, we would consider the Weinberger girl, but the mother would like to see her in person. Not talk to her, to say hello. Where is she going to be next? When is she going to be next in Brooklyn? Not, is there a chasen in the five towns that maybe I could see? When is she going to be next in Brooklyn? So that I would like to be able to see her, or if I could see her even on the street and know that that's her. And it wasn't necessary for my wife to discuss this with me. The answer was, go find a different girl for your chasen, for your tzaddik. I'm sure he's a wonderful boy. Probably it's the mother has problems. Boy's probably a nice boy. That's, to some people that might sound, again, I'm from out of town. I come from Queens. So for some people that might say, but my wife is in Brooklyn. Right? So even to Myrna that sounded very, very extreme. And I know that all of you know such stories, even crazier stories, bizarre things of who the family is, of what kind of people they are, of what kind of a girl this is, what are the priorities, what are the priorities that the young couple have when they're married. I'm not saying whether he goes to Kerala or not. What are his expectations? The fact that there are parents and in-laws that are helping him, is that something which is deeply appreciated? Is there a hakaras hatayv of who my parents are and what they do for me? And that this is not a simple thing just because every Chai Sprinzer, Merrill and Schmerl are also living this kind of a life and can also go to Eretz Yisrael for a year or two and can also get this and do that and so on and so forth. And on top of that, to be able to have only the nicest things and to live in the nicest place and to have the nicest car after hearing 1,000 shiur about Mesiris Nefesh V'Torah. Mesiris Nefesh means the parents' Mesiris Nefesh V'Torah. Mesiris Nefesh. And what are the priorities? Bichlal. What are the priorities, Bichlal? And where are they holding? And what's the ikkun? What's the tafel? And you and I look back nostalgically upon old-time Jews that didn't hear all the ideological lectures, and yet they knew in their kishkas, in their bones, what was important and what wasn't important, what was right and what was wrong. And they might not have been able to quote the Ramban, and they couldn't quote Rav Dessler, and they didn't know the Sfasemis. But the Zaydis and Babis knew what was important and what wasn't important. And that they lived for us. They lived for us. Not how to avoid my children. Not how to get rid of my children. Not what to do with my kids. It was a different hasaga of Bishvil Ma Bonu La'olam. My parents, they should love me well. They have, if you would wake my parents up in the middle of the sleep, although they don't usually sleep much, but if you wake them up in the middle of their sleep and say, what are you doing in the world? So they would say my name and my sister's name. And that they should be Jews. That's dumb. Not to dress us up, but they should be Jews. They should be Jews. And you remember, you know, that the Spielberg, you know that he had this thing to go, some of your parents, you know, that Spielberg was very generously, I don't know if they're still doing it, but you know that they were interviewing, they're interviewing Holocaust survivors. And he wanted to keep a record. It's a chashuv thing. And so my parents were approached, and my father, we were surprised, my father readily agreed. And we were surprised about that. He usually doesn't really talk much, but he agreed. But then in the end, he didn't say anything. So they came to the house, and my father decided at the last second, he says, no, I don't want to talk. So my mother ended up, it's interesting, because my mother usually doesn't talk about these things. My mother ended up for 2 hours schmoozing, saying stuff that she never even told the kids. My father garnished. I wasn't there at the time, my sister wasn't. I said, Daddy, he said, say something. So my father agreed, and all he said was, he said, no, I guess he figured everybody understands. But he said, if the Rebbeinu Shalom kept my wife and I alive, he said, we should be able to come to this country and to raise Yiddish kinder. Thank you. That was it. Because that's the sum total of the man's life. And that's all he wanted to say, because that's all that I've ever heard him say. Not ever saying it, but that's all he ever says. Bishvilma bonu lakan. Bishvilma bonu lakan. Why did we come to America? Why did we come bechlal to the world? What's the ikkun? What's the tough? When you see a child, when a Rebbe sees in yeshiva, and how I know that I'm so guilty of this, it's so hard. You could have the finest child in the world, but the child maybe doesn't fit in exactly with the other children or with another child, and it hurts. You want the child to be part of the chevra, or to look like everybody and to act like everybody. And you have a child that's a little bit different, could be more chashuv. Who knows what? So sometimes you can forget the ikkar. You forget the ikkar of bishulma banu lakan. You say the wrong things, and you have unreasonable expectations, and you could hurt someone that you love. This is the ikkar koyach of the Yetzer Hara before Mashiach comes. To make what? To make the ikkar the tafel and the tafel the ikkar. To make the most important things in Yiddishkeit look like they're secondary. Look like they're not important. And to make the silliest, smallest in the onim in Yiddishkeit look like they're important. Look like they're important. And there are millions and millions of things like this that are going on. The ikkar is tafel, the tafel is ikkar. In Yiddishkeit. What's important, what's not important? Bishulma banu lakan. Why did we come here? I have to say, only because it's something that's on my heart, and there's only for the chevra here in our own place, that I was so nispoil from the amount of drinking that went on this Shabbos, the Kiddush, that I was sickened by it. And the way that there were grown men that were behaving in front of children. Bishulma banu lakan. What's the tachlis? This is Yiddishkeit. Not to see a father on fire with davening, to see a father come to shul 10 minutes before davening, and that he spends the whole davening focused and concentrated, not wandering around and schmoozing and talking. But then when it comes to drinking, to chalila, to indulge in something which is shaloi mi bnei amen, doesn't belong amongst our people. And I know that I can't even convey this to them, but I'm hoping that the Neshei Chaya will. That it's something which shouldn't be accepted. I'm not saying that any of your husbands, I don't know. I just, it was a gal nefesh. And that it's not, that they have to understand that it's not acceptable. It's not tolerated, such a thing. And they'll make it sound like this is the ganze Yiddishkeit. This is the ganze Yiddishkeit. What's the matter with you? You're not a Hamish person? You know, I'm chayshu, maybe you worked at Har Sinai. A little schnapps on Shabbos. But what if you would say, I'm chayshu that you went there, a little davening on Shabbos? How about getting up an hour earlier? How about showing the children what it means to be a Jew? But the whole Yiddishkeit is to have a drink and to carry on. I'm saying there's only a few yechidim, I'm not saying chas v'shalom. But it doesn't belong by us. And that's why in our shul, we eliminate drinking altogether. And a lot of people made fun. We got all kinds of emails. You wouldn't believe it. You would think that, God forbid, that we took out the Sifrei Torah. You would think that the Sifrei Torah were taken out from shul. Because I said, there's not one drop of alcohol allowed in the shul. Finish. Gemayim. If you want to, and I said to the Oilem, if those of you who aren't shaken by this new Gzeira of the Rav, those of you who are not shaken, probably it's because you don't really care. You don't drink too much. Those of you who are really angry, it's for you. I mean you. What kind of thing is this? Oh, but this is the ikkel. This is the ikkel. This is what became from Purim. This is what became already Simchas Torah already, which never was such a thing. Simchas Torah already became also indulgent. What's the ikkel and what's the tough? This is the bilbul before Mashiach comes. This is the bilbul. Kulonu yaidim sha'ikr shalonu wa neshama shalom, he says. Everybody knows that the ikr of being a Jew is a neshama. The soul. Wa neshama shakol echad ve'achadu gavoye ve'kadosh ma'ayid ma'ayid. And the neshama of each and every one of us is exalted and is holy. And sof kol sof, this soul, the neshama, is sent into this lowly world. L'mispa kotin shel shana, for a couple of years. All together, a couple of years. Me'ev esim shana halavai. The tafkid god of a kaddish. And the neshama that comes into this world for a couple of years was given a great, holy and important job. L'shlichas god. Shlichus, like we were talking about with the parenting, shlichus, to be good shlichim, to be good messengers. Kol neshama, neshama yesh lo shlichus shalai. Every neshama has its own unique shlichus. There are no two neshamas that have the exact same shlichus. Certainly, all keep Torah mitzvahs, but there are no neshamas, two neshamas that have the exact same shlichus since Bereishis. Shiraku yochel malos. But only you, only this person can be mamale, can fulfill the shlichus. Ubishvilzeh shlichus anachna makablam matanim yavinu shabashamayim. And in order to be able to fulfill the shlichus, we receive this gift from Hashem Yisbarach. And what is the gift? Hashonim shanim tzoyim kan. The years that He gave us in this world. Ugevaldige koiches sheyisayu asanomali shlichus. And Hashem Yisbarach gave us wondrous kaiches, gewaltige kaiches, intellectual, emotional kaiches that Hashem gave us. Each and every one to be memale his and her specific shlichus, not what that person can do, not what the other one can do. V'hayoyim kotzev amalochim erubin. The day is short, as it says in Parak, and there's much work to be done. It's not so long, the whole thing. Every neshama has a certain chelik of Hashem's Torah that Hashem has brought designated that neshama should be able to connect to, that neshama should be able to accomplish, to be able to learn. Its ultimate shlichus can be accomplished in this world. The Meshach Hashanim, in the years that neshama was given, the chelik godel shel tefillah, and every neshama has a certain capacity to daven a certain amount of tefillahs, with a certain amount of what? Of emotion, sincerity, devotion. Sheyochel lishpech nafshel lifnei Hashem Yisbarach b'meshach hashanim. That he could pour his heart out over the years. The taharim yuchedes, each and every one of us is given on a different level. Obviously, someone comes from a different background. He starts off with many, many strikes against him, and it's much more difficult. But everybody was given a certain amount of tahara, his or her ideal, highest level of what? Of purification, of greatness. And each and every one of us was given a shlichus to accomplish that, and given the years, and the koiches haguf, and koiches hanefesh, and koiches hamoyach, the mind, the heart, to be able to accomplish the shlichus. Bez Hashem Yisbarach, ba'avoidas tikun v'zikuch v'kishat amidus. And each and every one of us was given a specific shlichus to work on certain midus, and therefore each and every one of us was created with certain difficulties and certain nisyonis and certain different homes, different countries, different places, different schools, different friends, different parents, because each one of us was put into a place where we have to work on those specific midas and to be able to reach that madrega, fulfilling the shlichus that you have in the world. That you could accomplish during the years that you're here. And so does it all aspects of Torah and mitzvahs, everything about serving Hashem. After the brackets, even though everybody knows this, every one of us believes this. It's clear, it's mamish clear and obvious to us. Everybody, since the time there were children, you know the Chazal say also in Parak that what, that this entire world is like a hallway, a corridor. But it's leading to what, to the place, to the tachlis, to the reason why we were created. Mikol makom, even though we know this and we believe in this, mikol makom hayetzer mishtadel b'kol kaychaisa, the yetzer will do whatever it can with all of its kaychas, lahalim ulachasas hayedim itonu, to conceal, to cover this awareness from us. B'chol minei hefanim, which we're going to talk about in all different ways. That we shouldn't live, that's just one sentence, that we shouldn't live constantly with this knowledge and this awareness of what? This is not the place. This is not my tachlis. Why was I created? Why am I here? The Yetzirah comes that we shouldn't live with this constant awareness. That which ni'ilah is usually very clear ni'ilah. For a moment, by ni'ilah it's so clear. And the Eighth Sahar will do everything to give us the impression that this world is what? Is a permanent dwelling place. Not a sukkah. But it's a permanent place. It's a mokum kayom, it's forever. And to confuse us to believe that the things of this world are dvorim ikarim. The wedding gown, as opposed to Hashem's wedding gown. Those are the two wedding gowns, and that by that chasana. And it's so hard to believe at your own chasana, like she did, that the true wedding gown is the one that the poor girl was wearing. And that the one that the expensive one that was bought in the, what's it called, Kleinman's? Oh, I'm sorry. Kleinfeld. For sure I had that. Kleinfeld. They should live and be well, make a good panos, whoever those people are. They make sure many Jews happy. But that was not the ikker. That gown is not the ikker. The ikker is levushay tzedakah. The ikker gown is the gown of what? Of giving to somebody who needs. So in the Hebrew, v'shaharosh zayin in the Hebrew. On the bottom, b'shaharoi shamayach v'halei yemutra demyonim tveilim. The Yetzirah wants that what? That the mind, the heart, should be preoccupied, mutra, should be busy, fanumen, busy, imenyonim tveilim, with kleinikai. Kleinikai, small things, narishkai, kleinikai. Vinyonim shveilim, and even, and not just narishkai, even worse than narishkai, low things. Worse than Narishkai. Back, so what was going to do? I don't have to say each time, do I? From the footnote, we'll just go automatically and go to the Hebrew. So right after Zion on top, the last three lines. V'havolim, Narishkai. V'av shebiseichel, zedvar pela mamish. If you try to think about this rationally, it's taka pela. Isn't it a pela? You could have somebody that was invited to a chasana, and he's not happy at the table, so he'll go and he'll stare at Simcha by saying, am I making some sort of a comment about where you were seated to the parents of the Chasam Kal? Or was there something the other day that was like, I don't know, I'm losing my memory. But there was something the other day that was, why did somebody have to go over and say Bechla? Like, why was it necessary to say? Is it going to change anything? What is it? You're sitting... Netzach Nesachim next to the person of the Chasna, that you have to go stare and you have to let everybody know and people have to hear. And let's say you didn't like something at this Simcha, you didn't like something that the person said. And instead, so he says, it's a Dvar Pela Mamish. Al Pisech is the most irrational thing. Because we're nice people. We're nice people, we're not bad people. Why would somebody stare somebody's Simcha? Why would somebody say something that's hurtful? For what tachlis? To be able to sit next to somebody that anybody you don't want to talk to either? For what purpose? What's the tachlis? All of these things that are not seichel. He says, it's a pela mamish. It's taka pela. It's a wonder. Eich efshel lishkoch mizehamis. How is it possible to forget the amis? If you think rationally, and you stop and you say to yourself, bishvil ma bosi lakan. Why was I put here into this world? And if right now I'm being challenged with a kleinikai, with a narishkeit, I was put here to overcome this narishkeit, not to succumb to it. To overcome it. But this is the Yetzer Hara, especially now, at the end of time. L'shkoich mizehamis. Beich efshel ahalim ayin. and not to see. Push it not to see. To say something that could be so unbelievably hurtful. That how is it, those of you that are comfortable with the Yiddish, just look inside the Yiddish. But he says that how could it be that such narishkeit should fill and preoccupy a Jew's mind and heart? This is the koyach of the Eitz Sahara. Unseich. Unmoich. The Eitz Sahara is unseich and unmoich. It's without, doesn't make sense, Tak. It's without seich. It's irrational. And certainly that's what Chazal were talking about also when they said Yitzhak Shalom is Chadishalov, that every day there's a new Yitzhahar, and not just, it's not the same, it's Mischadishalov. It thinks of new strategies. Or Misgabalov, Bechal Yod, and Mavakish Hamisun tries to kill you, it tries to destroy us. And it doesn't mean to kill, it doesn't mean, God forbid, to kill the person, Mamish. He says, Shahagufa, call Hevel Elam as in the Kremisa, because the Nairish Kaitan of this world are called dying. That's Misa. A wrong decision means at that moment you opted for the Malach HaMavis. It means you opted for what? For death. To give in to the Narishkeit means to give in to the Malach HaMavis. Why? Because She'edim Dvarim Shel Kayom HaKlal. What is death? Death means that something isn't permanent. This world, it's this whole world Bechlal is not a Dvarim Shel Kayom. It's a few years. The whole life is a few years. And when the person gives in to that narishkeit, to that dimyon, to the illusion, he's exchanging a world that is forever for a world that's a few moments. What the Baruch Shalom said by the tree in Gan Eden, that on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die. And you know the Ramban and the other Mepharshim asked, what do you mean? They didn't die. They ate from the tree, they were fine. Nothing happened. And it's just like that with us too. It says in the Torah, don't do this aver or you're going to die. The person does the aver, he says, I feel okay. Not only that, I think I even feel better. Hashem Yirach. And yet it says in the Torah, B'yayim ha'chol chimenu, Mais Thomas. But on the day that you eat from it, you will die. Because death here doesn't mean just a cessation of bodily functions, of breathing. Death means I chipped away one piece of eternity and I've chosen, I've opted for a piece of nothingness, which is called Misa. Sha'guf yizgav. Every time the guf, every time the body is victorious over the nisham, over the soul. And the Eitz Sahara is working very, very hard each day. That a person should feel with the yarmulke and with the shaitel and with everything. To feel what? That the guf and the havol and the narishkeit of this world is the main thing. It's tzarech ezer miyuchad. And a person needs special siyata d'shmayim, special help and to daven. Yavinu shebeshmayim lihinotz l'mizeh, from our Father in Shemayim, to be saved, to be spared from this. We'll just take 5 minutes and do it, this paragraph. V'tzadikim gilu shayetzer bo, shayetzer zebo l'kol yochid yochid tzura acheres b'eifan acher. And the tzadikim have thought that this yetzer hara comes to each of us in a different way. What he says to one person doesn't say to another person. Kol ech l'fi gilu l'fi matzav. Each person according to his age, according to his circumstances. Avu kol echad hu mebal b'lo saroi shim havolim acherim. Each one he confuses, he mixes you up with different things. With havolim, with different havolim. And the Baruch Shalom wants each of you to search very, very carefully. To try to understand what are the narishkeit, what are the havolim that the Yetzer is coming to you with. What is the Yetzer trying to give you the impression of something that's important but really is silly? What is the Yetzer building up as a big deal? and making look like it's so chashuv when really it's total nonsense. Be'achad zeh b'midas, with one person could be with an inyan of midas. Be'achad zeh b'tayvos, with one person could be with tayvos. A person could think that if I don't have this cake, my life is not worth living. If I don't eat this next piece of cake, it's nourishkeit. You can live without the cake. And not only can you live without the piece of cake, you're going to feel much better and happier. And you're going to look better and feel good. And afa pichein, there's such a thing that a person will do something which is totally irrational. Because it could be the doctor said this is not good for you. And it could be that you feel bad about yourself. It's so crazy. It's irrational. But the inyan of the taiva, that's how taiva works. To take something which is nourishkeit, which is tasting something for 2 seconds. Oh, this is my favorite thing. For 2 seconds. And then afterwards feeling guilty and feeling disgusting and so on. For 2 seconds. I'm not talking about an aveira of course. We're talking about ashlikul mezaynus. But, afal pichay. It's for that person. Another person would think, looks at you and says, that's what you're interested in, a piece of cake. But when you see that person losing his temper, you say, you lose your temper over such a thing? What, the kid spilled the soda, then for that you're ready to send him off into the imiklut? Because what, he spilled the soda? So you look to him like you're a Michigan. He looks to you like a Michigan, right? He looks at you that you can't hold back from having a piece of cake. Are you altogether Michigan? You can't hold yourself back. You told me that you're going to, this is your new life. You're on this new diet. And it's only the 85th time in your life you're starting this diet. And this is going to be the new you. And you're going ahead to have the piece of cake because of what, a taiva? And then you look at him and you say, you've told me for the last 10 years that you hate yourself for always yelling at your kids. Your kids spilled the soda. For that you have a taiva? To scream for a soda? Each one looks at the other like a total meshuggah. Like when you see somebody disciplining their kid in the store and you think, right, you see somebody being a little bit too rough with the kid, like he's talking too rough, and you're such a tzaddikus, right? And you think, this is terrible. This is horrible. And your kid says, and your kid interrupts you and says, "Mommy," he said, "one second, I'm trying to understand what's going on here. This is a terrible situation here. I'm trying to follow this." Yeah, a person that even b'shas ma'isa, how meshuggah it is. When you see somebody pulling at a skirt and the mother goes all through, she had a hard day and a million things and we don't know, so you should talk to me down the cuffs. You should be down the cuffs. And one person sees the other one all together, it's like, in ganzen meshuggah. Except when it's you. She says, someone that's lazy. You have somebody that for him it's to get up early is a machai, no problem. For another person it's very, very hard. And to him it's chashug, you can't get up. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You have something, you have to go to learn, you have to go to work. What's wrong with you? But there's no end. Commission of Farak Sazbe, Shemis Barak Lahalam. The movement of Kalecha, Chi Epshal, the Farda calls impossible to go to all the details. The Kal Yachim, who bought by Fanacher. Each person, the Yetzer comes in a different way. Ubachal Gil, who bought by Fanacher. Kay Yetzer, Mashanam al Bushav Tom, the Yetzer is constantly changing outfits. Kamayim Chazal. Rots and Shemis Barak Shanachap is Benivdog. Therefore, the person wants to live with this awareness and to think about it. When the Vakish Harbin, Mavinish, Vishmaim, Shim to Kalecha, Eza Havalam types him as Sanuka, we should try each and every one of us to uncover in our lives what is this narrative that's becoming too important. What is this tafel that became ikkav? What's the Yetzer doing to confuse me? Unishtadli notzmiz had to be saved. By Yetzer hazeh nichnas amayk amayk. This Yetzer goes very, very deep into a person, very, very deep. Huchayde v'nichnas ma'ayd amayk. It penetrates deeply, it's very hard to find. Because to you, you'll say, no, this really is important. This really is important. And everybody will say, is it really so, it's so important? It's really important. It's very hard to see in yourself that it's not. Therefore, the tzaddik says you have to put a lot of koiches. To live with the truth. Why are you going nuts? What's the matter with you? The whole world is nothing. It's a praiser. It's a hallway. It's like a chasne. It's like a little simcha. It's finished in a few minutes. The whole thing. Kibbez Hashem. What we're going to be learning throughout this man is techniques, ways of understanding this, and how to search for this more. That Bezat Hashem will have it next week. Shkar.